Okay, I got to start off with a joke that you've heard probably five times already. And the reason I got to start off with this joke is because it's taking you somewhere I want to go. And the joke goes like this. A young girl comes to her mom and says, "Mom, where did we come from?" And she said, "Well, Adam and Eve had children, and they had children, and they had children, and until so on and so forth till it got to us." She said, "Oh, okay." So she was happy with that, and you know, little girls skipping around happy, and a few weeks later she thought she'd get into a conversation with her dad about it, so she come and asked Dad, "Dad, where'd we come from?" He says, "Well, we came from monkeys, and monkeys stood up and their hair fell out and eventually become men." And so it confused the little girl, and you can understand why, so she went back to her mom and said, "Mom, Dad said we come from monkeys." She said, "Oh, honey, that's so easy to explain." She said, "Dad told you about his side of the family, and I told you about my side." It is funny. It's funny every time I tell it. But I told the joke to bring us to a place where we can talk about both sides of the family. And I'm not talking about monkeys and humans, but I'm talking about a verse. I'll read it to you from 1 Corinthians 15, and verses 21 and 22. "For since by man came death, by man came also a resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." And so here we see two circles of life, one in the first Adam and one in the second Adam. In the first Adam, we know that it's the old creation. Amen. Two different spheres in which we can exist in. Two different realms. In the spirit and or in the natural. And every person ever born in this planet has to decide which sphere they want to, which one of these circles they'd like to live in. In the natural, and you know, where you invest in all the things that this world has to give. Or in the spirit, and you begin to invest in heavenly things. You invest in Christ. You follow him. And the thing is, the first Adam and belongs to a fallen human race. He belongs to the old creation. And this last Adam, or Christ, is the beginning of a new creation. How do I know? Well, the Bible tells me. Revelation 3:14 says, introduces Jesus as the beginning of the creation of God. And so we see that the cross of Calvary is really a pathway into a new creation. Amen. It really is. And, you know, and it doesn't matter what church you belong to. It doesn't matter what religion you are. You can be a high Anglican if you want, or any other religion. There's only one way into heaven. It's through the gateway of the cross. And this is supreme. This is supreme above all denominations, above all churches. This is supreme. Your denomination can't get you into heaven. Hallelujah. But the Word of God can. It's full of truth, full of life. And so I just want us to remember that. Don't trust in your denomination to bring healing to you, or don't trust in your denomination for deliverance. You got to trust in Jesus if you want those things. And so we see the cross is the gateway into eternal life. And you know, Jesus is the way maker. He's the beginning of a new creation, and he's the key that unlocks the land of new beginnings. Amen. And you know, we think the land of new beginnings is when our body passes away and we'll get a new body. All that's going to happen. But you know, you can have a born again experience today that's revolutionary, that changes your life forever. And I want to change direction now. I want to go to Psalm 74. And wow. I'm proud of you, Gerson. You're faster than a speeding bullet this morning. Oh God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribes of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion where you've dwelt. Lift up your feet to this perpetual desolation. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of the meeting place. They set up banners for signs. And in Psalm 74, you can see this is a real time of destruction that had come upon God's people. And the commentaries say that they believe this is Asa's talking about the time when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem. But when I question that, Asa lived in the same time period David lived. So I don't know if it was a prophetic prophecy or how that works. But anyway, it was a time of destruction. We can see that. And the enemy had come in and destroyed everything in the sanctuary. And the cry went out in this psalm. A cry went out to God. Lord, remember us. Remember us. Amen. And it was a catastrophe that couldn't be. You couldn't steer around it. Utter disaster was the scene of Psalm 74. And these events took place many years before Christ came along. And there seems to be a connection, though, a connection to us. And I just want to say it's a picture of the human soul that's apart from Christ. A picture, this devastation is a picture of the human soul that is apart from Jesus, apart from the Savior. And the reason we can relate to it is because we are the temple now. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the temple's not made of mortar and brick anymore. And it's made out of flesh and blood. And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And so this is the new creation, the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And it's a new creation dwelling in this old creation. The old part's passing away. Maybe you notice a few extra wrinkles today, or you've noticed some parts aching that never knew you had parts there until they started aching. It's part of the aging process. So we have this new life, amen, and within us, an old creation. Houses a new creation. And it's because Jesus has stepped into these everlasting ruins. Amen. And it was a picture of us, you know. And each one of us, somewhere along the line, Jesus has intersected our life. He has touched our lives because he's entered into these everlasting ruins. Amen. And ever since the Garden of Eden, everything's been a total mess. Amen. But Jesus has entered in, and he's come to bring us into life, out of death and into life. He's come to visit the devastation of our lives, and we need him to step into the ruins of this temple. Hallelujah. And each one of us, we need a king that's going to restore the order of things, someone who will lead us and show us how to get in sync with the kingdom of God and the kingdom privileges and kingdom purposes. And, you know, most of my ministry is teaching kingdom principles, you know, teaching principles that are going to cause us to prosper in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that we're born into as soon as we're born of the Spirit of God. And so I find it interesting. First, I'll make this statement. We're on a journey. And it's a journey of transformation. Amen. I think it's funny that I get a message on Tuesday and I hear it on Wednesday Bible study. A journey of transformation. Amen. And it happened last week too, talking about Amazing Grace on Sunday. We heard about it on the Wednesday. And it's because God is trying to speak something to us. God wants to get our attention about something. And that's how he works. He repeats things over and over. And I've heard this message for the third time this week, coming from this angle, coming from that angle, coming from this angle, because the Holy Ghost has got something to say. Hallelujah to us. We're on a journey of transformation. You know, we live in the garden of God. That's what planet Earth is, isn't it? The garden of God. There's a whole lot of things growing in the garden. Hallelujah. That God didn't plant. There's a whole lot of things going on. And there's a whole lot of resistance to the working of God. But...